Chapter 22. 6-foot swells carrying caps of white foam atop their shoulders pushed and prodded at the Sea Rover, causing her decks to roll gently with the undulating seas. A high-pressure front was slowly moving out of the East China Sea, and Captain Morgan noted with satisfaction that the strong southerly winds had gradually softened since they had entered the sea, located southeast of the Japanese mainland the night before. As Morgan watched from the bridge, a gray dawn slowly washed the research ship in a bath of muted light. Near the rising and falling bow, he spotted a solitary figure standing at the rail, scanning the horizon. A wavy patch of black hair could be seen fluttering in the wind above the upturned collar of his navy blue foul-weather jacket. Dirk breathed in a deep lungful of the sea air, tasting the damp saltiness of it on his tongue. The ocean always invigorated him, both physically and mentally, the blue vastness providing a tranquil tonic that allowed him to think and act more clearly. Not one capable of working behind a desk, he was addicted to the outdoors, flourishing when at one with what Mother Nature had to offer. After watching a pair of gulls arc lazily above the ship in search of a morning meal, he made his way aft and climbed up to the elevated bridge. Morgan thrust a steaming mug of coffee into his hand as he entered the ship's control room. "You're up early," the captain boomed, a jovial grin on his face even at the early hour of the day. "Didn't want to miss out on any of the fun," Dirk replied, taking a long draw at the coffee. "I figured we would be approaching the search area shortly after dawn." "Pretty near," Morgan said. "We're about 40 minutes from the Swordfish's reported position where she sank the Japanese sub."
"What's the depth here?"
A young helmsman in a blue jumpsuit eyed the depth monitor and crisply announced, "Depth 920 feet, sir." "Looks like territory for a deep water AUV search," Dirk said. "I'll have Summer wake up Audrey and get her ready for work," Morgan replied with a grin. Audrey was the variant of an autonomous underwater vehicle, which the NUMA scientists who built her had instead dubbed Autonomous Underwater Data Recovery Vehicle. A state-of-the-art, self-propelled sensing unit, Audrey contained a side-scan sonar, a magnetometer, and a sub-bottom profiler, all packaged into a torpedo-shaped casing which was simply dropped over the side of the ship. The combined sensors provided the capability to seismically map the seafloor for natural or man-made objects, as well as peer beneath the seabed for buried anomalies. The fish-shaped sensor could skim above the seafloor at a depth of 5,000 feet, propelled by a powerful battery pack, which eliminated the need for a lengthy and cumbersome tow cable. As the Sea Rover approached the search area, Dirk assisted Summer in downloading the search parameters into Audrey's navigation computer. "We'll use the side-scan sonar only, so we can run wider search lanes," Dirk instructed. "If the I-411 is out there, we ought to be able to see her sitting up off the bottom." "How large a search grid?" Summer asked as she tapped instructions into a laptop computer. "We have only a rough fix from the Swordfish, so we'll likely have plenty of ground to cover. Let's set the initial search grid at 5 by 5 miles.
"That's still within range of the data relay system. I'll do a quick systems check, then we should be ready to deploy."
As Audrey's software program was reconfigured, the Sea Rover dropped a pair of self-positioning transducers into the water at either end of the search grid. With built-in GPS satellite receivers, the transducers would relay underwater navigational guidance to Audrey that would enable the vehicle to run a precise back-and-forth grid pattern several dozen feet above the sea floor. Audrey, in return, would upload packets of data to the transducers at periodic intervals, detailing the sonar's search results. "Ready with the winch," a crewman's voice shouted. Dirk gave the thumbs-up signal, then he and Summer watched as the 8-foot-long, lemon-colored survey vehicle was lifted out of a rack on the rear deck and lowered over the side railing into the water. A white plume of spray from the tail indicated that Audrey's small propeller was churning. Then the grips from the winch were let go. Lunging like a thoroughbred out of the gates at Santa Anita, the torpedo-shaped vehicle surged down the length of the Sea Rover before submerging under a wave and into the depths.
"Audrey has some legs on her," Dirk noted. "She's undergone a recent modification and is now capable of running her surveys at a speed of 9 knots. At that pace, she may not give me much time for my favorite part of the search. What's that? Summer asked, a quizzical look on her face. Why, having a beer and a peanut butter sandwich while waiting for the results, he grinned. While Audrey motored back and forth down neat imaginary lanes 100 feet above the seafloor, Summer monitored the vehicle's progress on a computer display aboard the Sea Rover. At 20-minute intervals, a digital data upload was wirelessly transmitted from the transducers to the ship, where further electronic processing converted the binary data bits into a graphical image of the sonar readings. Dirk and Summer took turns scanning through the images of the seabed, searching for linear or angular shapes that might signify a shipwreck. Looks like a pepperoni pizza, Dirk mused as he studied the rock-strewn bottom, seeing odd-shaped boulders that threw off round shadows against the flat backdrop. Don't tell me you're hungry again, Summer replied, shaking her head. No, but I bet Audrey is. What kind of mileage does she get on a tank of battery acid? The batteries for high-speed operation are only designed to last 8 hours. We never run her past 7 hours, though, to make sure she has enough juice to propel herself from deep water to the surface. She's been in the water now about 6 hours, Summer said, glancing at her watch. So we'll need to call her back for a battery change within the next hour. A pop-up window suddenly appeared on the computer screen, signaling receipt of the latest data upload. Only one more file to go till we've covered the first search box, Dirk remarked, standing up from his computer console chair and stretching his arms. I better identify the boundaries of the next search grid. Can you take a look at the next data feed? Sure, I'll just go ahead and find it for you, Summer joked as she took his seat and typed a string of commands into the keyboard. A new set of images appeared on the screen, a 500-meter swath of ocean bottom scrolling from top to bottom, which resembled the aerial view of a hard-packed dirt road through the desert. Summer had adjusted the color images in a golden hue so that the occasional rock or mound on the bottom cast a brown-tinted shadow. She studied the monitor closely, watching the same monotonous sea bottom glide by. Suddenly, a dark smudge appeared on the top right side of the screen and grew larger as the readings rolled down. The smudge was a shadow, she quickly realized, created by a long tubular shape that was crisply defined in a dark shade of russet. My word! There it is, she squealed, surprised at her own voice. A small crowd gathered around Summer as she replayed the image at a slow speed several times. The distinct outline of a submarine was clearly evident, complete with an upright conning tower that cast a long shadow to one side. The image roughened near one end of the vessel, but Summer measured the object at well over 300 feet. Sure looks like a submarine. And a big one, she said, not sure whether to trust her eyes. That's our baby, Dirk said confidently. Looks just like the image we scanned of the I-403. Nice work, Summer, Morgan offered as he approached the commotion. Thanks, Captain, but Audrey did all the work. We better pull her aboard before she makes her way to China. Summer typed in a new handful of commands, and a signal was relayed from the transducers to the underwater vehicle. In a matter of seconds, Audrey terminated the search pattern and propelled herself upwards, where she broke the water's surface a quarter mile away from the Sea Rover. Summer, Dirk, and Morgan watched as a retrieval team in a rubber Zodiac scooted over to the idling yellow sensor and clamped it to the gunwale. The team slowly made their way back alongside the research ship, where Audrey was hoisted out of the water and replaced in her cradle on the stern deck. As the second of the two transducers was hoisted back aboard, Dirk admired a large exploration vessel that was inching past them a mile away, a Japanese flag wafting off its high bow platform. Cable-laying ship, Morgan said, catching Dirk's gaze. She followed us out of the inland sea. She's a beauty. Doesn't appear to be in any hurry, Dirk said, noting the vessel's slow speed. Must be operating under a daily billing rate contract, Morgan laughed, then turned his attention to ensuring the transducers were securely aboard. Maybe, Dirk replied, smiling, but a vague caution tugged at the recesses of his mind. He shook off the feeling and refocused his thoughts on the task at hand. It was time to take a look at the I-411 up close and personal.